We are tracking massive divergence in the market right now. Some publicly traded crypto infrastructure companies are soaring, up over 66% in the last 90 days, while others, often pure proxy plays, are collapsing by over 44%.
That divergence is just the noise on the surface, though. The real story, the foundational shift you need to be watching, is quiet. We've seen major U.S. banks controlling hundreds of billions in capital finally open their doors to direct Bitcoin trading.
Turning the asset into legitimate collateral.
Exactly. And that's the institutional paradox we're going to unpack today.
Welcome to the deep dive. We have been handed a stack of source material analyzing these really discordant movements, the latest volatility in publicly traded crypto assets, coupled with massive, crucial institutional adoption milestones that, quite frankly, have flown completely under the radar for most people.
Our mission today is, I think, pretty crystal clear. We need to look past all the short-term market noise, you know, the price charts, to understand which business models are structurally winning right now in the public markets.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more importantly, we need to analyze why this truly huge influx of bullish institutional news, I mean, the kind of news that should have sparked an explosive rally, is just being absorbed with barely a shrug. It's a fundamental disconnect between reality and sentiment, and we need to understand the friction points.
Okay, let's unpack this. We will first dive deep into the competitive landscape of the top five publicly traded crypto equities over the last 90 days. We need to focus specifically on this surprisingly successful and robust new business theme that's emerging, the AI convergence.
And then we'll shift focus to the institutional side. We'll analyze three absolutely major catalysts, including the regulatory changes from the CFTC and the operational reality inside JP Morgan. I mean, we're talking a $16 trillion settlement rail based on blockchain.
$16 trillion.
Yeah. And we'll explain exactly why the market just lagged so heavily in response. It's a fascinating study in how structural adoption works versus how market psychology, you know, reacts to news.
Let's start with the equities, because the performance spread is genuinely wild. The core investment thesis we are exploring here is actually pretty elegant. Publicly traded crypto companies offer a clean, familiar way for traditional investors to get exposure to crypto growth.
Without the complexity.
Exactly. You don't have to deal with custody risk or wallet security or the regulatory hassle of directly handling tokens yourself. You buy stock in a U.S. or Canadian listed entity.
And that's the wrapper, right? That's what makes it palatable for mainstream investors, especially the big institutional funds that are just constrained by compliance rules. For a portfolio manager running a pension fund, buying stock in a company that's tied to crypto's performance, well, that's a known commodity.
It's a traditional wrapper for a novel asset class.
Perfectly put, yeah.
Exactly. So we established the framework by looking at the top five performers and underperformers over the last 90 days to see what's driving this divergence. We have to understand why these specific business models are succeeding or failing under these specific market conditions.
Hmm.
It's not enough just to say Bitcoin went up a little or down a little.
No, it's about what structural value the company is creating around that asset volatility. And the sources, they show a really clear trend. The market isn't just rewarding size. It is currently rewarding infrastructure and convergence.
Convergence.
Specifically, the blending of established crypto operations like Bitcoin mining with the red-hot, immediate, high-margin demand for AI compute capacity. This is where the winners are emerging.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the absolute dominant hybrid model, which is IREN, trading under the ticker IREN. This stock delivered a truly remarkable positive 66.62% return over the last 3 months.
Wow.
When you look at the broader crypto market during that same period, I mean, that is an astronomical performance difference.
And the reason for that performance is incredibly instructional. IREN has executed this masterful operational pivot, positioning itself as the best of both worlds play. They've successfully combined two powerful but fundamentally different revenue narratives that appeal to two very distinct pools of institutional capital.
So walk us through those two narratives. How do they actually interact on the ground?
Okay, so narrative one is the pure crypto play. They run large-scale Bitcoin mining operations that gives you cyclical upside. When Bitcoin's price goes up, their revenue just explodes.
Right, the traditional miner model.
The traditional model. But narrative two, that's the stabilizer. It's their position as a provider of AI data center compute access. They recognize that the enormous power infrastructure and data center real estate they built for mining could be easily repurposed or at least partially pivoted.
To capitalize on the massive demand for AI.
The massive and immediate demand for high-performance computing resources.
Oh,
yeah. For AI model training and inference.
So the physical infrastructure, the racks, the cooling, the massive power connections, was built for Bitcoin mining, but it's adaptable enough to service the compute needs of a completely different sector, AI.
Precisely. You should think of it like owning a massive factory built to manufacture, say, classic cars. But you realize that with some minor retooling, you can use the same footprint, the same electrical infrastructure, the same specialized cooling systems to produce the highest demand electric vehicle components.
And the market for those EV components is less volatile and higher margin right now.
Exactly. It stabilizes their whole balance sheet.
So this convergence, the blending of high-growth AI infrastructure with the cyclical upside of Bitcoin mining, that's the synergy the market is rewarding with that massive 66% return.
It is the absolute key to their outperformance because it solves the core vulnerability a pure-play miner. I mean, a pure Bitcoin mining company traditionally suffers from these highly volatile revenue streams. If the BTC price drops, their margins collapse, and they struggle to cover their debt. But if they can pivot, say, 30 or 40% of that enormous power capacity towards servicing stable, multi-year, high-margin AI compute contracts, they suddenly have a robust revenue floor.
It provides critical optionality and stabilization. It means the company isn't entirely dependent on the price of one single, notoriously volatile asset.
Right. They are simultaneously exposed to the fastest growing tech trend on Earth AI infrastructure while retaining that massive cyclical upside of crypto. So you can see why institutional investors who are inherently cautious about pure play volatility find this narrative just extremely attractive.
It's the closest thing to a perfect hedge available in the public crypto equity space right now.
It really is. If Bitcoin price drops, the guaranteed long-term AI compute segment provides a stable revenue-generating offset. If Bitcoin soars, they benefit massively from both sides of the business. This blend, this hybrid infrastructure company, that's what the market defines as the winning model right now.
Moving down the list, we see a company that operates in a very similar lane, but with a different structural setup and a different outcome. Galaxy Digital. Trading under GLXY, they posted a more moderate but still positive 8.02% return.
Right. So Galaxy is in the same general sphere. They have substantial crypto mining interests, institutional services, and they are pivoting toward AI compute. But they bring something else to the table that a company like Iron doesn't have yet. Massive scale and institutional maturity. They just have far more corporate firepower and established financial services pedigree behind them than many of the smaller, nimble miners trying to make the same pivot.
So if they have the scale, the institutional relationships, and the same hybrid model, why is their return only 8% compared to Iron's 66%? Where's the friction point there? I mean, isn't an 8% return during a massive AI boom actually an underperformance for a company of their size?
That's a great question, and it speaks directly to investor preference for execution certainty versus future potential. The source material we have notes a really critical differentiator between Galaxy and Iron, which explains the difference in enthusiasm.
Okay.
While many competitors are still just pitching future capacity, you know, they're saying, we will have this much space available for AI compute in 6 months, or we're breaking ground on a new facility. Galaxy already has established signed agreements in place for AI data center contracts.
Ah, so pledging future capacity is speculative. It relies on everything going smoothly. But having established paying contracts in place right now, that's revenue certainty. That's immediate operational leverage.
Exactly. It's a huge difference. That grants Galaxy a significant head start in the AI infrastructure race among these crypto entities. They're one of the few with what you'd call real operational leverage heading into the next cycle. They aren't just selling the narrative like Iron, who is seeing massive price movement driven by that narrative momentum. Galaxy is delivering on signed agreements.
So their growth might be slower, maybe more methodical, but their foundation is arguably far more mature.
I think so. You know, Iron is the aggressive, high-risk, high-reward bet on the pivot successfully completing, while Galaxy is the more stable, mature bet on the operational execution that's already underway. That makes perfect sense for the difference in performance.
It's like the difference between investing in a startup that raises a huge round because of its incredible pitch and investing in a mature, profitable mid-cap that's executing a steady, proven plan.
Yes. The market loves momentum, which is why Iron soared, but it respects established operations, which is what keeps Galaxy positive.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the retail battleground. the fight for the regulated user, which we're calling the everything app battle. This is really dominated by Robinhood and Coinbase.
This comparison is fascinating because we're watching two different approaches to the same ultimate goal. And that goal is to be the single integrated platform where the consumer manages their entire financial life.
Stocks, checking accounts, banking, and crypto.
All of it, all in one place.
So let's start with Robinhood, ticker HOOD. They posted a surprisingly strong 19.44% return over the same volatile 90-day period. Their strategy seems laser-focused on building a fully integrated U.S.-centric financial everything app.
And that U.S.-centric focus is absolutely crucial to their success and their market perception right now. Robinhood pulls together traditional brokerage, banking services, and crypto trading into one incredibly clean, consumer-friendly system. The platform is just optimized entirely for ease of use and mass adoption within the strictly regulated American financial framework.
So they avoid a lot of the regulatory gray areas that plague global exchanges.
They do, because they stick rigorously to the U.S. consumer base.
And the market perception confirms the strategy is working, at least for now. The source material highlights that this ecosystem approach has resonated strongly with both retail users, who love the simplicity, and institutions who value that regulated structure. It's rewarding their execution.
Yes. Robinhood is executing flawlessly on its promise to be the highly regulated, low-cost gateway for the average American user. It's becoming a surprisingly strong proxy for regulated crypto growth because they have managed to package crypto exposure alongside traditional finance in a way that feels safe, familiar, and just non-intimidating.
Right. For a lot of their newer users, crypto is just another button next to their fractional share of Apple.
Exactly. And that normalization is incredibly powerful.
Now, let's look at its closest competitor, Coinbase, ticker COIIN. Despite its massive dominant brand name and its status as the leading U.S. exchange, Coinbase is trailing Robinhood significantly. They're down 11.45% in the same period.
That stark difference is telling. I mean, Coinbase is still the recognizable institutional-grade brand, and it is absolutely a front-runner for the integrated financial everything app, probably holding the better long-term position, I'd argue. They continue to aggressively ship new products, they're doing serious global expansion into highly competitive markets, and they're positioning themselves as the trusted U.S. gateway, especially for institutional players who need that deep liquidity. They're building a much deeper, wider, more robust suite of products.
So I have to challenge this then. If they have the superior brand, the deeper product stack, the institutional trust, why the lag? Why is the market rewarding Robinhood's polished interface and simpler offering more than Coinbase's foundational depth?
That's the friction point, and I think it comes down to two things: market sentiment and focus. Market sentiment was just sluggish during this 90-day period. It preferred stable revenue streams like Iron's hybrid or simple, easy-to-understand execution narratives like Robinhood's clear U.S. retail focus.
And Coinbase's focus is broader, more global.
It's much more globally ambitious. So while Coinbase is out there executing on these really complex regulatory and international expansion fronts, its newest products just haven't captured that immediate retail investor enthusiasm the way Robinhood's steady consumer-focused integrations have.
So Coinbase might be solving the highly complex structural problems, building the plumbing for global finance, but the market, which is looking for quick wins and clean narratives, is just quicker to reward Robinhood's polished, easy-to-digest story of U.S. integration.
That's a powerful insight. Sometimes the narrative is more important than the plumbing, at least for stock performance in the short term. Robinhood appeals directly to the largest consumer base, the U.S. retail trader, with maximum ease of entry and minimal regulatory confusion. Coinbase's strategy, being broader and more institutionally focused, it might just take longer to translate into massive equity returns.
Especially when overall market sentiment is tepid.
Right. It demands a patience that short-term equity markets rarely provide.
Let's pivot now to the final company on our list, which provides the starkest data point of all. It's the flip side of Iron's 66% gain. MicroStrategy, MSTRX. This is the pure, unhedged Bitcoin proxy play, and it experienced a sharp decline of 44.43%.
Yeah, that 34% decline is a brutal metric that just speaks volumes about the negative investor sentiment and price action that defined this whole period we're analyzing. MicroStrategy's core exposure to Bitcoin is simply enormous. The source material estimates they hold something like 3% of the entire circulating Bitcoin supply.
Wow.
They are effectively an enormous, highly leveraged Bitcoin ETF just wrapped in a corporate structure.
And the consequence is exactly what you'd expect. MSKRX's fate is essentially welded to BTC's price action, but in an amplified high beta form.
It is the definition of an amplified exposure play. When Bitcoin's struggles in the last few months saw significant consolidation and macro-driven fear, MSTR experiences that pain, but in an amplified, sometimes leveraged form.
Right.
And this is due not only to the price of the asset itself, but also just general investor panic regarding massive singular asset holdings during downturns. MSTR was the highest beta, most exposed way to express that market pain on the equity side.
We should probably take a moment to look at the market context for that 44% drop. I mean, that period was characterized by uncertainty around rate hikes, significant liquidations across derivative markets, just a general cooling off after a period of intense accumulation. MicroStrategy's drop reflects all of that fear.
Precisely. For the investors holding MSTR, the thesis is clear, if aggressive. MSTR remains one of the strongest equity side ways to invest in crypto without holding tokens if, and this is the huge caveat, if you believe BTC will recover sharply later this year.
But you have to stomach massive volatility.
Massive, massive volatility swings. The 44% drop is the risk premium you pay for that direct, unhedged exposure.
And if you contrast that 44% pain with Iron's 66% gain, when things turn sour, investors are clearly fleeing MSTR's pure exposure model and moving towards hybrid infrastructure plays like Iron and Galaxy.
Yeah, plays that offer some kind of tangible, non-crypto revenue stream to cushion the falls. That divergence is the single most important lesson from this whole analysis. It demonstrates a maturation in crypto equity investing. Investors are no longer just looking for pure price bets.
They're looking for defensible, sustainable business models.
Exactly. Models that can thrive across different market cycles.
Okay, let's pause here because this divergence is the entire key takeaway of this first segment. We have a hybrid infrastructure company, Iron, up 66%, and a pure Bitcoin holder, MSTR, down 44%. I mean, that's a huge directional split in the same sector.
It's a 110-point spread driven purely by business model design. Wild is an understatement.
So given this enormous divergence, why are investors prioritizing AI synergy, which is driving Iron's plus 66% return over direct pure BTC exposure, which resulted in MSTRX's 44% pain right now?
Current investor sentiment favors companies with established revenue-generating hybrid operational leverage.
That summarizes the shift perfectly. The market is looking for stability, optionality, and dual narratives that mitigate risk, not just pure exposure to volatility.
It's all about mitigating risk while keeping optionality open. Now, if the crypto equity story is about divergence in business models, the institutional story we're moving into now, it's about a profound disconnect between foundational reality and short-term price action.
Let's call it the institutional paradox.
Yes, exactly.
Let's move into our second main segment then, institutional catalysts and their market impact, focusing on that paradox. The market simply refused to rally despite the biggest news we've seen in months.
The observation is just stark. The past week delivered some of the most genuinely bullish, structural, and foundational institutional news seen in ages. I mean, the kind of news that 3 years ago would have caused the price charts to go parabolic.
The whole crypto community would have been in a frenzy.
Total FOMO overdrive. But the result, the market barely moved. These catalysts, under normal conditions, should have sparked a full-on rally. They should have shifted the entire sentiment of the sector.
But they didn't.
No. And the core analysis here is that sentiment was just not ready to absorb the momentum. There was this overwhelming, bearish, or simply sluggish, exhausted current driven by macro factors, maybe interest rate concerns, that just suppressed the good news.
So we have this massive disconnect between deep foundational adoption and short-term price action.
Right. Real structural adoption is happening at the highest levels, but the market isn't emotionally ready to get excited about it yet.
Okay, let's break down the catalysts, starting with PNC Bank, a truly major U.S. institution opening the front door to Bitcoin for its clients.
This is a structural shift that changes the status of Bitcoin from a speculative asset to an integrated wealth product. I mean, PNC Bank is a major U.S. institution controlling over $400 billion in deposits.
Right.
This is serious, regulated, traditional money.
Mm-hmm.
And they just rolled out spot Bitcoin trading for their PNC private bank clients.
And the mechanism is the detail here that really matters most. Clients aren't being sent to some risky third-party offshore crypto exchange. They can now buy, hold, and manage BTC directly inside the bank's own proprietary digital platform.
Managed by their own private wealth advisors. It's seamless integration into the core of traditional wealth management.
The significance of this can't be overstated. This move makes PNC the first major U.S. bank to offer integrated Bitcoin trading at this specific, deeply integrated custodial level.
This isn't some small pilot program for a boutique crypto division. This is a commercial offering for their wealthy, most sensitive private clients.
It changes the entire narrative around legitimacy and risk for the average high net worth individual. When a major regulated financial institution with $400 billion in deposits says, "This is safe enough, legitimate enough, and regulated enough to hold inside our platform," it marks a seismic shift.
It's the final step in normalization. It shifts Bitcoin from being a fringe, speculative asset to being a legitimate component of a diversified long-term portfolio, sanctioned and managed by a traditional financial advisor. This is exactly what we mean by foundational adoption. It's deep within the banking plumbing,
where the real durable money resides.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, moving on to the regulatory front. We had an even more impactful development from the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, approving crypto assets to be used as collateral.
This is massive for market structure. Collateral is not a sexy topic, but it is the invisible backbone of the entire financial system. When we talk about collateral, we mean an asset that's posted as security against a financial obligation, like a loan or a derivatives contract.
And traditionally, that's things like treasuries or high-grade corporate bonds.
Right, or just cash. So when an asset is approved to be used as collateral, what's the immediate practical impact? It immediately transforms crypto into a more flexible and genuinely valuable financial asset. It's no longer just a store of value or a trading instrument. It is now operational capital.
It can be mobilized to secure real-world financial activity.
Yeah, it has utility beyond just speculation. And the broader implication, especially for regulated entities, this is critical because collateral status changes how large regulated players, the major futures brokers, the clearinghouses, the huge banks, must treat the asset internally.
They're now forced to treat crypto like legitimate market-grade capital.
Yes, which means they have to treat it structurally the same way they treat a U.S. Treasury bond.
Which is a very big deal.
It's a huge deal. It forces them to build the necessary infrastructure, the risk models, the internal accounting systems, the custody solutions to handle digital assets right alongside traditional collateral assets. This regulatory stamp of approval essentially normalizes crypto within the highest echelons of structured finance.
It minimizes the capital required to hold or interact with it.
Right. It's the difference between treating crypto as high-risk speculative inventory and treating it as a true financial instrument with measurable, acceptable risk. Collateral status gives it fundamental weight and institutional usability.
That regulatory weight, the official permission, completely overshadows any momentary price volatility. It is the permission slip that the largest regulated funds need to enter the space with confidence and scale.
It creates a permanent pathway for large capital flows.
Finally, we need to address this fascinating duality coming out of JP Morgan, specifically involving CEO Jamie Dimon. This is the true paradox of institutional adoption.
Jamie Dimon is the perfect figurehead for this paradox. He maintains what the source calls an undecided or often highly skeptical public stance on Bitcoin itself. He's the cautious voice of traditional finance,
often dismissing Bitcoin as speculative or even worthless.
Exactly. Yet the operational reality of his bank is dramatically different. JP Morgan is quietly processing up to $16 trillion per day using blockchain-based settlement rails.
16 trillion. Daily volume.
That volume is just staggering. It illustrates the huge silent adoption of the underlying technology DLT, or blockchain. Even if the CEO remains publicly cool on the flagship asset, Bitcoin, they are leveraging the speed, the security, the efficiency of this tech for their most critical function, moving massive amounts of fiat money around the globe.
I think it's important to differentiate here. What specific technology is JP Morgan using, and how does that explain this disconnect between Dimon's public stance and their internal operations?
They're generally using proprietary, private, and permission systems, platforms like JPM Coin or Onyx. And this is the crucial nuance. They implement blockchain tech because it drastically reduces settlement time and costs, but they do it in a way that remains centralized and permissioned.
Meaning only approved, regulated entities can participate. They keep control.
Complete control. So the biggest banks don't hate decentralized technology. They hate unregulated, decentralized assets like Bitcoin, which they cannot control. When they can implement the tech, the DLT rails, in a way that remains centralized, they embrace it immediately. It drives down costs, it increases efficiency, and it keeps the entire operation under their regulatory umbrella. They get the benefits without the perceived chaos of true decentralization.
And we've seen this distinction creep into the public sphere. Diamond has recently been openly praising blockchain technology on major news outlets, highlighting this rapid, quiet adoption of the tech versus his skepticism of the asset.
That separation is a crucial nuance for everyone to grasp. The infrastructure is being adopted at scale, processing massive real-world value, even while the public figurehead of the bank maintains a cautious line on the asset most people associate with the technology.
So to summarize this institutional segment,
We
have PNC integrating BTC directly, the CFTC making it legitimate collateral, and the largest U.S. bank using permission blockchain for trillions in daily settlement.
Yeah.
The source material did note that some institutional movement, like news about Vanguard, did give BTC enough juice to reclaim $90,000 for a bit.
Right, showing that some institutional movement still has a material impact. A little juice, yes, but not the sustained, explosive rally that we would expect from such a confluence of powerful structural catalysts. The paradox persists.
So let's address that paradox directly, then. We saw a huge regulated bank adopt BTC, collateral rules change permanently, and $16 trillion flowing on DLT rails inside the world's biggest banks. Why did this institutional wave fail to create an explosive crypto rally right now?
Bullish institutional momentum was outweighed by an overwhelmingly negative or sluggish market sentiment.
So the market was just too tired, too preoccupied with short-term price consolidation, or maybe too fearful of broader macro uncertainty to fully absorb the weight of these changes.
Exactly. It's like building the foundation and structural steel of a massive skyscraper when the general public is focused entirely on the short-term weather forecast. The foundational work, the plumbing, the regulatory steel, the deep integration is absolutely critical for the next decade of explosive growth, but it doesn't make for an exciting news headline right now.
Investors are waiting for the building to start going vertical
before they're willing to jump in with massive rally-inducing capital. And the performance of MicroStrategy, down 44%, is the perfect short-term evidence of that negative sentiment winning out over foundational reality. The market punished pure volatility even as the regulatory framework was being cemented.
So if we synthesize everything we've discussed, the high-performing hybrid equities and the high-impact yet ignored institutional catalysts, what are the major actionable takeaways for our listener right now?
I think we can draw two very clear and somewhat contradictory conclusions. First, regarding the winning models in public equities, the top-performing companies prove that investors are currently rewarding those that aggressively build and execute on hybrid infrastructure.
That means successfully leveraging highly profitable AI compute demand alongside traditional cyclical crypto mining for sustainable dual revenue streams. Just like Iron showed with its remarkable 66% growth, that pivot is the blueprint.
Right. That model critically mitigates single asset volatility risk while simultaneously capturing the incredible momentum and predictable revenue of AI demand. It's a sophisticated dual revenue approach that traditional equity investors just trust far more than a simple unhedged proxy like MicroStrategy right now.
And the second conclusion is about institutional adoption itself, which is the foundational reality that shouldn't be ignored, regardless of short-term market apathy.
Institutional adoption is no longer a promise. It is operational, and it's happening at the highest level of traditional finance. We saw it with deep, client-facing bank integration at PNC, formal collateral approval from the CFTC, and trillions of dollars already flowing on secure, permissioned blockchain settlement rails at JP Morgan.
These are not promises for next quarter.
No, these are operational facts happening today.
And that brings us back to the core friction point, the core paradox.
The true friction point is market sentiment and how disconnected it is from structural reality. Massive foundational institutional change is being laid quietly, deep within the regulated financial system. But the short-term market, as we see with the lack of rally and MSTR's painful performance, is still completely dominated by price volatility and fear.
So a key takeaway for the discerning listener is to ignore the day-to-day price noise and look at the deep infrastructure.
Pay attention to the infrastructure companies, the hybrid players, and the regulatory and financial integrations. These quiet moves confirm long-term, durable value and structural change, regardless of short-term price movement. The foundation is being poured right now for the next massive cycle. When sentiment finally pivots, the infrastructure will already be in place.
We've explored the blending of AI infrastructure with mining, seen the Everything App competition heating up between Robinhood and Coinbase, and looked at how major banks like PNC and regulators like the CFTC are quietly but decisively integrating Bitcoin into the very framework of structured finance.
It's clear that the infrastructure for full-scale global institutional adoption is being built faster, deeper, and more securely than the short-term market is currently willing to acknowledge or price in.
It makes you wonder deeply about the long-term perception of risk. I mean, if a major U.S. institution like PNC Bank is now offering Bitcoin trading to its private clients, and regulated players can use crypto assets as legitimate collateral, what happens to the average retail investor's perception of risk and legitimacy for these assets moving forward?
When Bitcoin is legitimized as collateral and treated as market-grade capital by the CFTC, the regulatory perception of risk just drops fundamentally. It's no longer a question of if it belongs in a sophisticated portfolio, but how much should be allocated. That acceptance removes the largest long-term barrier.
The structural hurdles have been cleared, the legitimacy has been raised, and the infrastructure is being deployed. We're just waiting for short-term sentiment to catch up to the reality of adoption that's already underway. Thank you for helping us dive deep into these sources today.
A pleasure, as always. Fascinating material.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.